Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to ask you to stay tuned. This could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, always is about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it's always done without manipulation. That means that we have no hidden agendas here. We're not trying to sell you anything. There's nothing for you to join up with. This is not some political show. It is a show, simply put, about the truth found in the Word of God. It is a Christian show. It is a show about the Bible, but unlike any show maybe that you've ever heard before. Because this may be the first time that you will hear a radio show. It's not trying to sell you something or trying to get you to join something or trying to get you to go picket somewhere and take a stand for something. I'm just trying to give accurate information about what the Bible says. If you've ever had a question about God or if you've ever been fed up with the games and the gimmicks of organized religion, then you're in the right place. Because The Flatline is a show that is designed to give you accurate information without any useless speculation. That means no artificial intelligence offered here. Artificial intelligence, as coined by a friend of mine, is arrogance and ignorance combined together. Arrogance is always identified by self-justification and then self-deception, eventually leading to self-absorption. And ignorance, well, you know what that is. That's no knowledge, no information. And when people make a decision based on emotion, not on intellect, then it's usually an ignorant decision because it's a decision based on what they feel, not what they know. And you could see this in the life of the atheist who says, I feel there is no God. But he doesn't know that for a fact, so he makes a decision based on artificial intelligence. He's arrogant enough to believe that God doesn't exist, and he's ignorant enough not to know the facts. And so it gets him into a big jam. So we do this show by teaching the mechanics of the spiritual life and introducing to you principles and procedures that are found in the Bible, the Word of God, so that you can keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. That's what The Flatline is about. It's a developing in the forward compartments of your soul a forward line of troops. And this forward line of troops is, in fact, the Bible, the Word of God that you've learned and deployed into the forward compartment of your soul, into the thinking of your soul, so that in time of adversity, you are not conquered. You are not subject to the defeat that so many people face in their life when they have no answers. You're going to face adversity. That's inevitable. But stress is optional. And hopefully by learning these wonderful problem-solving devices in the Bible, you will be able to live the most phenomenal life, never free of adversity, but always free of stress. No fear, no worry, no guilt, no agitation, no anger. Is it possible to live like that? Absolutely. It is possible to have the most fantastic life the world has ever seen. It's even a life beyond your dreams. You hear people talking about today on the television and the radio about living their dream and following their dream. Well, God has a life beyond the wildest dream. The Bible says the eye hath never seen, the ear hath never heard, and the heart has never felt the amazing things that God has for you. And it starts by you learning His Word. And we are teaching a series on this radio show about the mechanics of God's Word. Oftentimes, people will write to me, and they will write and say, I've never heard it taught like that before. I've even had people say, you didn't say something that I did not know, but you put it in a way that I've never heard it put before. Well, that's because most people don't organize the information found in the Word of God and offer it to you in a way that it makes sense. They'll just quote some cliche, some religious-sounding word like, turn it over to Jesus, brother, or let God have it, brother. And that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't communicate the mechanics of how it works. And so we must identify one thing absolutely without a doubt. God has mechanics. God is a specific God. He is a God of details. And we established that several radio shows ago when we showed you how specific God is in the Old Testament. Our God is very specific in regards to prophecy, in regards to future events. And if you don't believe that, you can just go read the Old Testament yourself and read the Law of Moses. Most people say, well, they think about the Ten Commandments. Actually, there were over 490 commandments in Codex 1, Codex 2, and Codex 3. And in these commandments deal with many things. They deal with animal control. There were mandates dealing with the tabernacle and the ark. There are mandates dealing with lawsuits and marriage. All of these are part of the mandates of the Word of God, and they're very specific. God laid down the rules so there may be law and order in Israel and how Israel may prosper. And there are still rules today. Not that we live under the law of the Old Testament. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that God is still a God of mechanics. He's still a God that is very specific. And in our generation, we have forgotten that, and we've moved into more of a do-your-own-thing-with-God sort of attitude. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of people are doing the right thing, but they're doing it in the wrong way. Remember the verse in Jeremiah where God said in Jeremiah 9:23-24, I'm looking for people that not only know me, but people that understand me. And I have made the suggestion on this radio show that there is a vast difference between knowing God and understanding God. And to understand God, you must understand the specifics about God's plan, how it works. You see, if you play football, you have a system and you have to operate in the system. And if you have a good coach, he can take a slow player, a fast player, a weak player, a strong player, and make a winner out of all of them if they'll learn the system. So there are rules and regulations involved in football or any other organized sport. God has a system as well. And if you learn this system, if you understand the system and how the system works, if you live by the rules and regulations, what are what we call the commander's intent in the New Testament, then you can see how this system works and how you can grow and become the person that God intended for you to be. And the reason is so that you can represent Jesus Christ to your generation, and you do that by representing his character assets in your life. All of this comes through the system, the mechanics to the Word of God. Now, lest I'm boring you with this, let me back up just a minute. When I talk about a specific system, I'm going to put it into three simple letters for you. L-A-G. One of my friends, who's a great pastor, came up with this concept, and I love it. L-A-G. LAG. LAG stands for Learn, Apply, and Glorify. That's what it stands for. Learn, apply, and glorify. So if you're going to operate under the mechanics that God has set forth in his system, you're going to have to learn and then apply, and then you will glorify. Let me read to you Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. And this is Paul speaking of the things that are most valuable to him. He says in chapter 3 of verse 7 in the book of Philippians, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Jesus Christ. Yes, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So the most important thing that Paul the Apostle said that he could possess in his life is the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. Let's start with this word knowledge. Let me give you just a rundown on this word. In the Bible, as you know, the Bible was written in the Greek, in the Hebrew, and the Aramaic. And in the Greek New Testament, the word for knowledge can be translated two different ways. There was a group of people who called themselves Gnostics, and there was a religion called Gnosticism. And so knowledge is often translated as gnosis. That's the Greek word knowledge translated into the English. The Greek word is gnosis. The English word is knowledge. It's the same word. Gnosis is spelled G-N-O-S-I-S. Now let me show you the difference. There's another word for knowledge, and it is the word epignosis. Now, this is a compound word, epi meaning full and gnosis meaning knowledge. And so there is a difference between having knowledge and full knowledge. You understand? So when the Bible talks about having the right kind of knowledge, or what God wants us to possess, it is the full knowledge of the Word of God. It's something that you not only learned, but you applied as well. You see, to hear it and not apply it is to have gnosis. Yes, you heard it. Yes, you understood it. But no, you did not apply it. So it's not full knowledge. So if you go to church and you hear the pastor teach you something that some people will say, well, he really stepped on my toes today. That's a archaic way of saying that he nailed me right between the eyes. But if the pastor nails you and then you walk out of the church and you do not do anything about it, all you received is gnosis information. You did not transfer what you learned into your heart and apply it into your life. Now, that transfer has to be by faith. That's a simple system. You hear it and you apply it by faith. So the specifics of God's mechanics for our life revolves around this simple word, lag. We must learn, we must apply, and we must glorify. I even told you last week on this radio show that there are mandates that say study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There are mandates that say grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are mandates that say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. These are all imperative mood verbs. These are not requests. And so our Father in His Word is telling you, you must learn, you must study, you must grow. Why? Why? Why these mechanics? Why can I not just go to church, sing a few songs, read a couple of verses of Scripture, and go home? Why this insistence that I learn something? Because you can never grow up spiritually if you don't learn something. You know, when you were an infant, when you were born into this world, you had to learn how to walk. You had to learn how to feed yourself. You had to learn how to care for yourself and your hygiene needs. It's the same way spiritually. You have to learn to provide for yourself, because you now have a spiritual life, and God wants you to learn how to live the spiritual life. And the spiritual life is not lived in ritual that has no reality to it. You see, a lot of people go to church and they go through the ritual and there's no reality to it. They may take communion and they don't know what they're doing. They don't even know what the bread and the wine stands for. They'll just say, well, it stands for the body and the blood of Jesus. Okay, well, tell me 5 unique things about the body. Could you do that? Could you tell me 7 unique things about the blood of Christ? See, these are things you don't know. You haven't learned them. And so when you take communion, or as the Bible calls it, the Eucharist, it's a test. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Okay, I'm going to remember what? What is it that I'm supposed to remember? I remember His body and His blood. Was that all you remember? His body and His blood represent something. And so if you don't understand this, then you're going through a ritual without a reality. And the bad part about it is, if you don't understand what you're doing, you may be killing yourself. Because the Bible specifically warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 not to take communion out of fellowship. And it warns us that if we take communion out of fellowship, that we very possibly could die the sin unto death. And, of course, a lot of people don't understand this. They don't know this. And so they go on and they go through the ritual of communion with unconfessed sin in their life. And they wonder why they're sick. Listen to me as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I will read in verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, because he did not discern the Lord's body. And it is because of this that many are weak, many are sick, and many are dead. Wow. So you see, there is danger in going through the ritual without any reality to it. And I pity the poor pastor who doesn't teach his congregation this very thing. How can a pastor who is supposed to be a man of God offer the communion ritual to his congregation and not explain to them that if they take this with unconfessed sin in their life, that they're bringing judgment on themselves. Now you think back to the last time you took communion. Did your pastor tell you that? Did he warn you about that? Because I just read it right out of the Bible. This is not useless speculation. This is accurate information. So we have to learn something. We just did. We don't take communion out of fellowship. Out of fellowship means we have unconfessed sin in our life. That means we've quenched and we grieve the Holy Spirit. So if you want to learn and then apply and then glorify, the application part is before I take communion next time, I'm going to have a moment of silent prayer. And if there is any sin in my life that I'm aware of, I'm going to confess it to God right now before I put that piece of bread in my mouth. And then when you take communion, you will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by remembering him in the ritual. Well, that is if you know what you're doing. So the spiritual life is very important. You have a spiritual life. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a spiritual life. That spiritual life started the moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior. And God wants you to grow up and represent Christ to your friends. He wants you to assume the character assets of Christ. So the spiritual life is designed to go to maturity. Unfortunately, some people stunt their spiritual lives and they never grow up. They never become the person that God intended for them to be, and they are stunted spiritually. Growing up, being the man or the woman that God intended for you to be is found, for example, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, or let's start with verse 16, that God would grant to you according to the riches of his glory that you would be strengthened by might by his Spirit in the inner man. Okay, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside of you, to strengthen you, to mentor you, to guide you. This verse goes on to say in verse 17 of chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. This is you being occupied with Christ, problem-solving device number 10. We've talked about it. By faith, the verse says, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, there's another problem-solving device, problem-solving device number 7 and 8, personal love for God and personal love for others. Now listen to verse 18, so that you would be able to grasp the idea, along with all the other saints, of what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, in parentheses here, of God's plan for your life. And that you would come to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The word gnosis is used there. Past gnosis. It's beyond gnosis. It's epignosis. And the verse goes on to say, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And you may grow to be a mature believer, filled with all that God has for you. Who wants to live a stunted spiritual life? Who wants to be a misfit spiritually? And that's why the writer in Hebrews 5 warned in Hebrews 5, 10 through 13, 14, he talked about people that were stunted spiritually, that had not grown up spiritually, and they needed to go back and relearn the basics of the Word of God. You see, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, this is where it starts. If we're going to learn, apply, and glorify, it starts with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to you. The Holy Spirit was given to you in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And he's given to you the moment you accept Christ as your Savior. This is actually part of the Trinity. This is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is God the Holy Spirit coming to set up residence in your life. He indwells you, he seals you, he fills you, he regenerates you, he even gives you your spiritual gifts. And the Word of God is designed to tell us that God wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to control our life. And when we do, then Galatians 5:22 and 23 says that the fruit of the Spirit, and it goes on to list some things, which are actually the character assets of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit are actually the character assets of Christ, and they're transplanted to us by means of the Holy Spirit. So that stuff about love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness, these are the character assets of Christ. But there's also a battle in your soul. Because just since the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of you, there is a war. There's a real war now. And this explains why sometimes you act like two different people. You must know this if you're ever going to grow up spiritually. You still have a sin nature. And now the sin nature no longer has the ability to enslave you. Now it has been cut away, and you now have the privilege to live under the power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But you can also choose to let the old sin nature control your life. You see, God gave you a volition. God gave you a chooser. God gave you a choice. And you can make the decision, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, or I'm going to be carnal and I'm going to walk in the flesh. It's up to you. You see, this battle is taught in Galatians 5:17, where the Bible says that this is why you act like two different people. The flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. And then the Bible gives two negative mandates, one in Ephesians 5:30 that says, don't grieve the Spirit of God, and one in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 that says, don't quench the Spirit of God. So when you sin, not only do you grieve God the Holy Spirit, but you quench His power. And so the power that was delegated by God to assist you in living the spiritual life is shut off. And now you've gone back under control of your old sin nature. And this happens the moment you decide to go negative to God and sin. Let's use the example of Adam and Eve. Adam was not born with a sinful nature, but the minute he decided to go against the mandate of God, and the minute he took the forbidden fruit that was offered to him by Eve, he sinned. And you have a volition just like Adam. God did not create you to be a robot. He gave you freedom to choose. You had the freedom to believe in Jesus Christ and the freedom to reject Jesus Christ. And God also gives you the freedom to live your spiritual life or not live your spiritual life. It's always very sad to me when I see individuals, people that I love, friends of mine, that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are not living the spiritual life. It is their choice. They chose to ignore the mandates of God. They chose to go on off down the my way highway, and there's nothing I can do that'll change their mind. But I know what a miserable life they're living because I hear about all the complaints. Why does stuff go wrong? Why does all the bad stuff happen to me? How did I get myself into this jam? I'm just having a run of bad luck. And they're too blind to see that it's the discipline of God lovingly coercing them to come back. So when you sin, you get out of fellowship and you shut off the source of power, and now you're back enslaved to your old sin nature. Are you still saved? Yes. Are you going to heaven? Yes. Are you living in victory here now? No. You've gone back. You've gone back to allow the old sin nature to control your life. And if you stay in that position, if you don't rebound, problem-solving device number one, 1 John 1:9, if you don't rebound and recover your spiritual momentum, the longer you stay in that cosmic vortex, the deeper you're going to go. Until eventually, an emotional revolt of your soul, you will be like the dog that returns to vomit. You go back and live like an unbeliever lived. And people won't even be able to tell the difference between you and a lost person. Because your old sin nature dominated control of your life. Let's look at it this way. The Holy Spirit is the engine that runs your spiritual life. And the Word of God is the fuel for the spiritual life. So the Holy Spirit's the engine. The Word of God is the fuel. And when you quit taking in the Word of God, you run out of fuel. Does that make sense? When I'm talking about taking in the Word of God, I'm talking about sitting under the teaching of the Word of God by a qualified person, hopefully a qualified pastor, who can break it down and teach it to you point by point so you can learn, apply, and glorify. I'm not a pastor, I'm an evangelist. I'm just a person that points the way to a qualified pastor. But if you're learning something from me, if I am teaching you information you've never heard before, then it's indicative of the fact that you haven't found that person yet. And so, your volition is the gas pedal. If the Holy Spirit is the engine and the Word of God is the fuel, using this automobile analogy, then your volition is the gas pedal. Now, when I'm fishing, and I do that quite often, when I'm on the lake, as I was the other day, kind of cold, but I was out there in my Nitro bass boat. We call it a Z9 Nitro with a 250 horsepower Mercury outboard engine. That's right, Al Gore. I'm not helping the environment, am I? And I'm out there zipping down the lake at about 75 miles an hour. And I don't do that all the time, but the other day I did. I cut it back, cranked her open. Guess what? I'm going to get there quickly. And maybe there's some guy over on the side in a little small aluminum boat with a little outboard motor kicker like a 3-horsepower or a 5-horsepower, and he's just putting along. Now, on my lake, it's 49 miles to the upper dam from the lower dam. And so if I sit down in my boat and decide I want to go up there to fish, then it's going to take me about 45 minutes to get there. If the guy's in the little kicker and he wants to go up there, he better pack a lunch because it'll take him a couple of days to get up there and back. See, a lot of Christians are like that. They don't want to go too fast. They just want to putt, 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 putt. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, if all you're getting is Sunday morning and you go to church on Sunday morning and the choir sings and the music team sings and the praise team sings and the audience sings and this guy gives announcement and that guy, and finally the preacher gets up and for 15 minutes he gives you some sort of sermon, and that's all you got this week, and you're kind of putting along, aren't you? You haven't put the pedal to the metal. You're not taking in the Word of God. You're not learning very much, and you're growing very, very slowly. As a matter of fact, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the rate of forgetting could even exceed the rate of learning in your life. So how do you learn? Well, you take in the Word of God every day. Where is there a church that teaches every day? Well, there are not many, but I know a few that offer you the Word of God consistently, daily, and you can get their tapes, you can get their DVDs, you can get their CDs, their MP3s, and you can do like I do every day. You can turn on the tape player or the DVD player and take in the Word of God every day in the privacy of your home. And I try to do it every night. Every night I put in a DVD and I'll sit down with my Bible and my notebook, and I'll be fed the Word of God from a qualified pastor. Someone that I trust. And they teach me the Word of God, and then I reproduce much of what I learn on this radio show when I give that information to you. Do you have a spiritual life like this? Are you taking in the Word of God like this? That's how you grow. You put the pedal to the metal. Your physical body is the vehicle under which the spiritual life takes place. And if you want to grow spiritually, then you're going to have to make an effort to begin to take the Word of God in consistently. I have a lot more to say about this. We're running out of time today. So if you come back next week, join me. This is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.